This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. And now I want you to close your eyes, take a deep breath, because we're going to take a look at a very rare and strange form of collecting evidence.
20, going deeper and deeper into a state of relaxation, relaxing even more and more now. 19, relaxing even more and more now. You're going into a deeper state of relaxation. Now I want you to just take a deep breath, inhale.
So this sounds like a meditation class, right? Really relaxing. But what you're hearing here is actually part of a practice that is used in criminal investigations. Reporter Bobby Allen is here now. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, what's up, Maiken?
And Bobby, this is you being put under a spell by hypnotist Oscar Vance. You were sitting on this nice leather recliner. Your eyes were closed. Did you feel weird?
So I felt really chilled out and super focused. The induction, which is the slow countdown, is supposed to do that to you. He'll throw in, you know, images like a beach or your favorite color to really put you in that deep meditative place. Honestly, I was expecting it to be a little more magical than that, but mostly just left me feeling peaceful.
All right. Well, good for you, Bobby. But what was the point? Why did Oscar do this?
Yeah. So I report on mostly criminal justice and courts. And right now I'm auditing a class on evidence, on criminal evidence at Penn Law School. And recently we studied this Supreme Court case that was super surprising to me. It's called Rock versus Arkansas, and it's from 1987. It involves this woman who was accused of killing her husband, but she couldn't really remember the events that led up to it. So she was hypnotized to try to jog her memory. And that caused a legal firestorm. In the end, the Supreme Court basically said, okay, in some cases, it's fine to testify in a trial after being hypnotized. And I was just so surprised by that.
And after that, did hypnosis become really popular?
Yeah, it did. So after this big decision, lots of books came out about hypnosis. It became a major issue in criminal justice. Police officers all over the country, in fact, were trained to use hypnosis. One of the people I talked to about this issue is forensic psychologist Brian Cutler.
The process of hypnosis involves putting a witness in a comfortable state, relatively free of distractions, and just those conditions alone we find in our research enhances eyewitness recall.
So Cutler is the guy to talk to about hypnosis because he serves as an expert witness in trials and explains the latest science about hypnosis to juries. And he said, yeah, being at ease with a calm mind does help you remember, but using hypnosis to solve crimes, maybe not the best idea.
It makes it very difficult for people to distinguish between what they actually remembered and what they confabulated.
Confabulated. That's kind of a weird sounding word, right? But it's what psychologists use to describe a false memory. And Cutler says study after study has shown when compared to a normal standard police interview, hypnosis doesn't really enhance someone's memory.
We know from decades of research on human memory that memory does not operate like a video recorder. Memory is a constructive and a reconstructive process where we are continually updating our information in our memories.
Bobby, is he saying that a person might be making stuff up under hypnosis?
Yeah, and that's where really the controversy starts. So when you're put in this hyper-relaxed, trance-like state and ask questions, people are going to be more likely to fill in the blanks with their imagination. And the thing is, they do it confidently. Paul Gianelli is a guy I talked to. He's a Cleveland-based law professor, and he studied hypnotic evidence. And he says because of that, hypnosis has pretty much fallen out of favor these days.
It's going to be something that you would not use right away. You might use it as a last resort, as an investigative tool.
Right. So when investigators are looking at a cold case, you know, they've turned over nearly every stone and they're still totally stumped, then they might call Oscar Vance. He's the one who hypnotized me in his office.
Now, it's not a panacea for all cases. However, when you get a case and you can't go any further with it and you don't have any information, then why not give it a try?
How did Vance get into hypnosis?
So he got into it actually back in the 70s when it was really in vogue. He went to California and did this 2-week training at a forensic hypnosis school. And then he took those skills and parlayed them at a district attorney's office in Pennsylvania and then did it for 30 years.
And during that period of time, I had approximately 400 actual forensic hypnosis cases.
He's now got a private hypnosis shop and even runs a hypnosis training school where he teaches everyone from Texas Rangers to beat cops to private investigators how to hypnotize people. This guy is busy. I asked him, though, if he thinks it's unethical to use hypnosis since it's been proven to produce kind of sketchy results.
No, I don't. It's up to the investigator to go out and check that information. And that's the same as if they don't use hypnosis. They still have to go out and corroborate what that witness told them.
And when we were there, Bobby, he talked about some of the successes he scored.
Yeah, he did. And there's one in particular from Indianapolis from some time ago in which he was hypnotizing a rape victim who then remembered her attacker under hypnosis.
The investigators that were in the opposite room that were looking at the monitor, they were astonished in terms of the information that was coming from this woman who remembered this case during the session that happened 24 years ago.
So I watched you while Oscar Vance was hypnotizing you, and it didn't seem like you totally eased into the experience. Your eyelids were fluttering,
right,
like you were just waiting to open them. And he asked you all kinds of questions. He asked you to talk about a time in your life when you felt really good, and you mentioned a specific interview, and then he wanted you to describe your walk to that interview. Let's hear that part.
I took a bit of a detour into a shop to buy a cap for my head because I was so cold. And I remember having a conversation with the clerk.
And then he wanted you to describe the clerk.
He had a flannel shirt on. I want to say maybe it was blue. He was about my height, but a little skinnier. White guy. Maybe blue or green eyes.
Did you really remember this, or were you perhaps making that up?
You know, it's funny listening back to it now because I have no idea, and maybe we'll never know if any of that was true. Maybe it was tapping into something deep, but honestly, it could have just been a totally fabricated memory.
Could this kind of information, let's say this clerk somehow is under investigation, could that end up as being part of a court case?
Probably wouldn't make it that far, no. It's kind of used now in a more informal way. And what I mean, it might be given to a cop and they might say, okay, there's this clerk who committed a crime. Here's what he looks like, at least according to someone who described that person under hypnosis. But it wouldn't be brought into court unless it was backed up some other way. So think of hypnosis almost like an anonymous tip from someone's subconscious. It might lead to a suspect, but could also lead to the wrong guy. But that's true of any kind of anonymous tip that cops receive. But still, investigators, district attorneys, and cops around the country keep calling Oscar Vance when they've hit a dead end in a case.
Thanks, Bobby.
Thanks, Mikan.
Bobby Allen reports on courts for WHYY.